no matter where, this cowboy rides Yosemite. Stays by my side. These big trees whisper soft and low of days gone by, of what they know. Stop and listen along with me. The spirit of Yosemite.
Welcome to The Storytellers. We share stories and music from around the world and from many cultures. I'm Natalie Harris. The Storytellers cannot be made possible without the generous contributions of KZFR members and by CORE, Community Options for Resources and Education, a personalized learning California charter school accredited by the Western Association of Schools and Colleges. CORE offers a unique blended classroom and non-classroom public education model based on the needs and interests of each individual student. Information is available on the web at coretca.org or by calling 894-3952. So the song that was just played was The Spirit of Yosemite by Rich Price. And so I'm doing a camping theme today because I recently, for the 4th of July, I got back from Yosemite. It was my first time camping there, and I had a blast. It was so much fun, and I definitely want to go back as soon as possible. So this first story that I'm going to share with you is Little Tycoony and the Big Yosemite Race. I actually found this book in Yosemite, and it's an adorable story, and it's really cool. So here's Little Tycoony and the Big Yosemite Race by Stephen Riley. There was a day in the month of May when the Yosemite animals raced. El Capitan is where it began, and they all lined up before they ran to make sure their shoes were laced. The morning was bright. 'Twas a beautiful sight to watch the sun come up. Tension was high, the clouds drifted by while all the runners warmed up. The race was long, the race was hard, it was only for the courageous, for only the strong could run so long on routes that could be so dangerous. Yet upon this day raced one so young, the others thought he was loony. No chance did they give that he'd finish or live, and this brave young lad's name was Tycoony. But he was determined, this little raccoon, to overcome the circumstance. In his heart he knew, as the start was so blue, that he'd have a fighting chance. For he had practiced long and hard and time again, till he could run this route without even a doubt, and he could run it like the wind. He made it down fast, and he wasn't the last, but there were some others ahead. He was sure there were four and quite possibly more, so he sprinted on toward the Merced. He jumped in the river. Man, it is cold, he thought, as he thought through its flow. It came from the hills where the great water fills all the falls with the spring melting snow. He jumped from the river and passed Mr. Bear, who was caught completely off guard. You could see the surprise in his big yellow eyes as he was passed like a bucket of lard. Ahani lunge sounded good, as it probably would, but he knew he'd have to forget it. For with others to beat, there was no time to eat. If he stopped, I knew he'd regret it. Suddenly, Ty felt the need for some serious speed, and he began to snarl and sneer. He was hauling real tail as he burned up the trail and kicked it into high gear. Then, just like that, he passed the bobcat as they turned up the John Muir Trail. Ty just couldn't miss, for with all his practice, he was sure he wouldn't fail. Then, by Vernal Falls, he passed Mr. Squirrel, who was looking so thin and frail, as he panted and swayed in the water that sprayed from the falls along the Miss Trail. To his right was Nevada, with its tall, dark cliffs and its water that thundered and fell. Then a smile from inside crossed his lips from the pride that one feels when one's doing so well. He could feel his heart beat right down to his feet. He wondered how long he would last. Then on ahead toward the lion he sped. He was tired but still running fast. I'll win, he thought with a grin as a redwood watched him go. So he picked up the pace at the end of the race while the lion was starting to slow. Then because of the lion's refusal to train, he just couldn't take any more pain. So among Half Dome's many switchbacks, the lion stopped and collapsed in his tracks. Then with a burst of magnificent speed, Little Tycoony took control of the lead. Then Ty had to stop right there at the top of Half Dome to find a way down. He found a great bird, though it does sound absurd. They flew off the cliff toward the ground. Ty was feeling so fine as he crossed over the line and a smile broke forth from within. The tie was so small, he just beat them all, and that's why this book's named after him. So ended that day in the month of May, the big race was over and done. It was a big day for raccoons. They set free their balloons, for little Tycoonie had won. The end. Isn't that an adorable story? And it's really cool because it describes Yosemite really well. And also, I like to run, so that's a perk too. So this next book, it really sums up camping because there's a ton of different viewpoints. The woods, there's the lakes, and a lot of different things to see. So here's Into the Outdoors by Suzanne Gall. We're going camping, leaving the city down in the valley. We head up the mountain. We drive over a bridge and under the towering trees. At last, we arrive in the great outdoors. We pitch our tent among the trees and set off along the hiking trail. The trail winds around the lake and across a sparkling stream. We walk between some huge rocks and climb up to the very top of the mountain, but the eagle is higher still, soaring over our heads. On the way down the mountain, we pass behind a tumbling waterfall and through a grassy meadow. When we return to camp, the sun slowly drifts behind the mountains. Stars shimmer throughout the sky while we sit around the campfire. As we climb into our tent, I think about chipmunks skipping down its hole, squirrels scampering up a tree, woodpeckers settling into its nest, and porcupines snuggling inside its log, and duck tucking its bill under its wing. Alongside each other, we dream our dreams, beside the lake and beneath the moon, outside in the great outdoors. The end. So this next song continuously gets stuck in my head every time I listen to it, and it definitely sums up all the things that I love about camping and the wonderful outdoors. Here is I Love the Mountains by Huayda.
I love the mountains, I love the rolling hills, I love the flowers, I love the daffodils, I love the fireside when the lights are low. Boom dia da boom dia da boom dia da boom dia boom dia da boom dia da boom dia da boom. I love the ocean, I love the open sea, I love the forest, I love Bama Bays. I love the stars above when night turns into day. Boom dia da, boom dia da, boom dia da, boom dia, boom dia da, boom dia da, boom dia da, boom. I love the sunshine. I love the butterflies. I love the wind blow. I love the river flow. I love the city lights when the moon is high.
Welcome back to The Storytellers. I'm Natalie Harris. So in case you were just joining us, we are doing a camping theme today because I just got back from Yosemite from the 4th of July, and also because I like to volunteer at Camp Shidaka, and we'll talk about more of that later. So this next book has some guidelines for when you go camping, and it's a story about a girl and her friends of the her dinosaur friends. So here is Camp Rex by Molly Idle. Searching for an outing to enjoy with your friends? Consider camping. The fresh air and exercise are invigorating. Remember to stay together as a group and stick to the trail. When you reach your campsite, find the perfect place to pitch your tent. Once you've made camp, you can explore the surrounding area. Learning about the local flora and fauna can be great fun, so long as you take care to avoid any dangerous plants and refrain from disturbing the natural landscape or its inhabitants. If the opportunity presents itself, there's nothing more refreshing than a dip in the mountain lake or a bit of canoeing. You may even catch a fish or two for supper. After all, the seasoned camper enjoys gathering wood, kindling a flame, and cooking over a properly prepared campfire. A traditional sing-along of marshmallow roast always brings campers closer together. Telling spooky stories can be fun, too, until it's time to turn in. Before you fall asleep, it's lovely to listen to the soothing sounds of the forest all around you. In the morning, you'll wake refreshed and ready to head out on the trail again. For experienced campers are as much at home in the great outdoors as they are in their own backyard. The end. Isn't that story really cute? I think it definitely describes some of the things to do. My favorite part about camping is definitely roasting the marshmallows. And going on hikes and seeing the wonderful views can be fun too. So this next story is about a day camp, and it's about the Berenstain Bears. And I grew up with these books, and I loved reading them. So I'm really excited to share this one with you. And the reason why I wanted to put some day camp ones in the camping theme is because I like to volunteer at Camp Shidaka. I've been doing it for 3 years now, so it has a strong place in my heart. So here's The Berenstain Bears Go to Camp by Stan and Jan Berenstain. It was the last day of school and the beginning of vacation, that wonderful time when little bears could sit around doing absolutely nothing. Brother Bear and Sister Bear shouted goodbye to Teacher Jane and hopped onto the bus for the happy trip home. "Well," asked Mama Bear after a day or so of vacation, "are you enjoying sitting around doing nothing?" "It's great," said Sister. "Absolutely," said Brother. "There's just one trouble with it," added Sister. "There's nothing to do." "Here, take a look at this," said Mama, as she reached for something that had come in the mail. This is what it looked like. "Tired of sitting around doing nothing? Come to Grizzly Bob's Day Camp. Summer fun for cubs of all ages. There's swimming, canoeing, arts and crafts, sports and games, nature study, and it's fully supervised. And don't forget our exciting overnight campfire, powwow, and sleep out." Some of the things looked interesting, but Brother wondered what fully supervised meant. And Sister wasn't so sure about that overnight sleep out. It sounded a little scary. "Where is this camp?" asked Sister. "Not Barren," said Mama. "How will we get there?" Brother wanted to know. "A bus comes for you in the morning and brings you home in the afternoon." "Sounds a little like school," said Brother. "We'll think about it," said the cubs, and went back to doing nothing. Well, not exactly. They picked a few wildflowers, chased a few butterflies, turned over a few rocks, and thought about it. "Mama, could we try Grizzly Bob's Day Camp just to see if we like it?" they asked. "Of course," said Mama. A couple of mornings later, Brother and Sister were in camp shorts and t-shirts, all ready and waiting when the bus came. It didn't look much like the school bus, and Grizzly Bob didn't look much like Teacher Jane, and the camp didn't look anything like school. Grizzly Bob had built his camp beside a lake at the edge of the forest. There were log buildings, a flagpole flying the camp flag, a big bulletin board with the camp rules — there certainly were a lot of rules — some interesting paths, a roped-in place to swim, there was even a big red canoe. Bob had made name tags for the cubs. "You're campmates now, so you better get to know each other," he said. Then he took them on a tour of the camp. There was an office with a desk where he did his paperwork, and a first aid corner full of bandages and things for cuts and bruises. There was a rec hall to go into when it rained. Rec was short for recreation. And there was a picnic place and a barbecue pit where they roasted hot dogs for lunch. Sister burned hers a little, but she traded with another cub who liked burned hot dogs. Bob announced that after lunch they would all climb up Spook Hill to the very top of Skull Rock, the special place where they would have their end of camp powwow and sleep out. It was quite a climb. That evening, Mama and Papa Bear were eager to know how the cubs liked camp. "It was okay," said Brother, "but they sure have a lot of rules." "It was all right," agreed Sister. "They sure have plenty of bandages and stingy stuff for cuts." But what they were both thinking about was Skull Rock and the end of camp sleep out. Especially Sister. And the second day was different. Brother had a great day. He passed his swimming test and was allowed to ride in the canoe. Sister didn't have such a good day. She played dodgeball and some of the cubs threw pretty hard. The third day, Sister had fun. She got a star for a birch picture frame she made in arts and crafts. But Brother hurt his knee in the wheelbarrow race. The fourth day, both of them had fun. And every day after that, So much fun that they forgot about Skull Rock and the sleep out. Almost. Papa found the sleeping bags that he and Mama had used on their honeymoon, and when the camp bus came on the morning of the big night, brother and sister were ready. Sort of. The climb up Spook Hill wasn't so hard this time, even with backpacks. The cubs were strong and tough in their summer of camping. Tomorrow would be field day, the last day of camp, when their parents would come to watch their games and contests and see awards given out. But for now, all the cubs could think about was the big sleep out. It was just beginning to get dark when they reached Skull Rock. Grizzly Bob built a campfire, then he went into a small cave. When he came out, he was dressed in a beautiful Indian costume. Then the cubs sat in a semicircle, and the powwow began. Bob told them old Indian legends of the great animal spirits, the story of the great grizzly as big as a mountain, the soaring eagle who filled the sky, and the mighty salmon whose colors made the rainbow. As Bob told the stories, the cubs could almost see the wonderful creatures in the firelit smoke as it curled up into the night sky. After the powwow, they had cocoa and honey bread, then they curled up in their sleeping bags, and soon they were all fast asleep, even Sister. The next day, Brother and Sister did very well in the field day games and contests. Brother won a trophy for finishing second in the dash, and Sister got medals for the dead bear's float and for her bead belt. It was almost the end of summer. School would be starting in a couple of weeks. "Well," asked Papa, "how did you like camp?" "It was great," said Brother, hugging his trophy. "It was great," agreed Sister, wearing her medals proudly. "But you know something, after Grizzly Bob's day camp, school will be like a vacation." The end. So I grew up reading the Berenstain Bears books, and so I was really excited to share that one with all of you. And so like I was talking about earlier, I volunteer at Camp Shadaka. I've been doing it for 3 years now, and this year I got to be with some of the older kids. I got, the ages are from 7 to 12-year-olds. But before that, I was with younger kids, with 3 to 6-year-olds. And so both of them are a lot of fun, and I really enjoy doing that. And at Camp Shadaka, we do a lot of camp songs. Every morning, we start with songs, and on Friday, we have this powwow where all the parents come, and the kids sing the songs that we've been working on, and they show skits. So this next song is one that I really like. It's a little bit different the way that we do it at camp, but it still has the same melody to it. So here is The Littlest Worm by Casper Baby Pants.
The littlest worm you ever saw got lost inside a pile of straw. The littlest worm you ever saw got lost inside a pile of straw. He called to me
from in the pile.
Don't pitch that fork.
For a little while.
He called to me from in the pile. Don't pitch that fork for a little while. I had to bail. Inside the stack. The worm did well. I had to bail. Inside the stack. The worm did well. I poked it here,
poke, poke, poke.
I poked it there,
poke, poke, poke.
The worm was brave,
brave, brave, brave.
The worm was scared.
Scared.
I poked it here, I poked it there. The worm was brave, the worm was scared.
Pulled out the fork,
so sharp and shiny.
So sharp and shiny.
The worm was on it,
all cute and tiny.
Pulled out the fork, so sharp and shiny. The worm was on it, all cute and tiny.
I put him down
in the soft green grass.
In the soft green grass.
We set a long goodbye at last.
Goodbye at last.
I put him down in the soft green grass. We said a long goodbye at last.
Next time you hear
a little voice.
To pitch or not.
It is your choice. Next time you hear a little voice. To pitch or not. It is your choice.
The littlest worm you ever saw. The littlest worm you ever saw.
Welcome back to The Storytellers. I'm Natalie Harris. So in case you're just joining us, we are doing a camping theme because I recently just went to Yosemite for the first time, and also because I volunteer at Camp Shidaka. So this next story is also about a camp. It's an overnight camp, and it's a great friendship story, and I really like this one. So here's Picnic at Camp Shalom by Jacqueline Jules. Someone giggled behind me as they waited in line for the swim test. I turned around and saw a girl with red curly hair. She was wearing a blue bathing suit with silver stars. It was exactly like mine. Twins, she said, smiling. Aren't you in my cabin? I asked. I remembered seeing a girl with red hair rush in just as we were leaving for the lake. Yes, I came in late. My name is Sarah. I'm Carly. We talked some more while we waited our turn. After the swim test, our counselor Jenny called everyone together for a scavenger hunt. Sarah chose me as her partner, and we ran all over camp hunting for Welcome to Camp Shalom flags. We found the most and won a prize. Good teamwork, Jenny said, giving us each a beaded necklace. Lights out for our cabin was at 9 o'clock, but Sarah and I whispered for an extra hour. We discovered that both of us love music. Sarah told me she sang with a band at her sister's bar mitzvah party. I told her about my solo at my school's choral concert. The next day, just after swimming, Jenny stood at the cabin door waving an envelope. Mail call, she announced. Sarah wins the prize for the first letter from home. She's inside changing. I'll give it to her, I said, taking the letter and reading the name on the envelope. Frankfurter, I shouted when Sarah came out. Your last name is Frankfurter, like the hot dog? I opened my arms to give her a hug. She grabbed her letter. My name's not funny, she said in a cold voice. Before I could explain, she ran down the path to the dining hall. What happened, Jenny asked when she saw me eating alone. Did you and Sarah have a fight? As I told Jenny about my mistake, tears spilled onto my sandwich. Sarah thinks I made fun of her name, but it's exactly the opposite. At home, everybody had short, plain names like Jones or Walker. Finding a friend named Frankfurter was like finding a twin. You were just excited, Jenny said. Sarah will understand. But for the rest of the day, Sarah avoided me. At the lake, she shared a paddle boat with someone else. When we played volleyball, she made sure to be on the opposite side. In the crafts barn, she worked at the table farthest away from me. I couldn't get anywhere near her until we went to the music house. She sat down in the front row and I grabbed the seat beside her. Sarah put her finger on her lips. Shh, Jenny's talking, she said. Tomorrow is Shabbat, Jenny said, passing out music sheets. Our bunk will lead the singing after dinner. The first song she taught us was about friendship. I sang as loudly as I could, hoping Sarah would feel a message for me. That sounds beautiful, Jenny clapped, but we can make it more interesting. Let's start the song off as a duet and then have everybody else join in. A duet? That meant two people would be picked to sing together. I closed my eyes wishing. Sarah and Carly, Jenny pointed at us. Come up here and give it a try. Sarah and I stood side by side practicing the song. She opened her mouth wide, but the rest of her body was stiff like a wall. And when we were done, she ran out of the room. Give Sarah some space, Jenny said. She'll listen once she cools off. The next night, everyone put on white clothes for Shabbat. The light from the candle sparkled over our faces as we sang the blessings. Our voice echoed in the big room. We sat down to matzo ball soup, challah, and roasted chicken. Weekends at camp are great, Jenny said, from Shabbat dinner to the Sunday picnic. After we ate, it was time to sing. Jenny gave me an extra job as we got up from the table. Introduce yourself and Sarah before the song, she whispered. Finally, I thought, a way to make Sarah listen to me. Shabbat shalom, I began. The room got so quiet I thought I could hear the candles flicker. My name is Carly Hamburger. Hamburger? Like chopped meat? Sarah whispered. I nodded with a big smile. Sarah took my hand. Every note we sang together sounded perfect to me. Afterwards, on the way back to the cabin, Sarah told me about a girl at school who makes hot dog jokes about her name. A boy at my school teases me with hamburger and french fry jokes, I told her. The darkness was a tent, giving us a quiet place to share our secrets. Hamburger and Frankfurter, I giggled. Two girls with the same problem at school. But not at camp, Sarah laughed. Here were just what you need for the Sunday picnic. The end. Isn't that a really cute story? I think it has a great friendship note to it. So remember, I hope you enjoyed the books and the music that I shared with you. And the Storytellers cannot be made possible without the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Flow Native Nursery and Restoration, Where the Wild Things Grow, a California native nursery committed to the use of sustainable native plants for landscaping and restoration projects. information about native plants and drought-tolerant landscape design, visit Floral Native Nursery and Restoration at 2511 Floral Avenue or call 892-2511 online at floralnativenursery.com. And make sure to stay tuned for LA Sound's Senor Felipe. So if you ever go to Yosemite, make sure to look at Tunnel View and Glacier Point because those are my absolute favorite spots there. And if you were ever at Camp Chidaka during the Indian weeks with the older kids, make sure to come say hi to me because I'd love to meet you. So this next song is one that a counselor at Camp Chidaka sang. Whenever a kid told a joke, he would sing, "Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side, keep on the sunny side, hey." It was really funny, and I actually found the song that that he was talking about. So I'll make sure to see you next time. So here is "Keep on the Sunny Side" by Elizabeth Mitchell.
1, 2, 3.
There's a dark and a troubled side of life, but there's a bright and a sunny side too. Though we meet with the darkness and strife, the sunny side we also may view. Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side. If we keep on the sunny side of life, though the storm in its fury broke today, crushing hopes that we cherish so dear, clouds and storms will in time pass away. The sun again will shine bright and clear. Keep on the sunny side.
Oh, love.